Good evening and welcome to the first meeting of 2023 of the Engineering and Operations Committee. And first off, our welcome to new member Ken Peterson joining us as a part of the committee. And now we're down to four members, so this is it's going to be an exciting year, I think. With that, we'll please stand and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get into public comments, I have to make an announcement. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Summit Circle Engineering Services Section Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the committee using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in or internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raised hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. Phone participants will be called on by the last two digits of their phone number or by name. When it's your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. For public attending in person, there are public comment cards, and I think you've turned some in, Dan. Thank you. The procedure for tonight's meetings as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from the committee members. The committee then will come to a consensus to either move this item to the board or for need further consideration. Any PowerPoint shown on tonight's meeting will be posted on the website. And tonight, the committee members are Director Orzechowski, Director Ken Peterson, President Gary Martin, and myself, Bill Thuber. And with that, we'll move on to item two, public comment. No cards? Any?
I believe Ms. Noltmeyer has one for, do you mean item number two, Ms. Noltmeyer, for public comment?
Three, four, and yes. One.
Can I just stand up here?
Yes, please.
I can speak very loudly. And I am trying to follow through how we're going into the new board from this board or vice versa. And I am a little concerned about, like, tonight's meeting. Was it announced to everyone that pays into you, or it was limited to just a few of us? Because I'm very concerned about us getting over into, because they're going to be appointed. They're going, and you are being appointed, apparently. But we're going to get in where they're elected, which is an entirely new thing for this agency, at least in my books, how many years I've been following it. And I want to make sure it's done correctly and that the public is made aware of it. Because once you're in the other element, you're going to find it's a lot different than when you were here just doing whatever you wanted to do whenever you wanted to do it. But it's going to be subject to the public's approval, and the public have a right to say, get rid of that guy if I don't like him. And something we haven't had a right to do. And I've done this sort of thing of what, and I've watched every single meeting, as you probably know, I'm probably getting tired of hearing from me. But I used to do this many, many years ago when I worked. And I won't go into that, what I actually did. But when I got here and I noticed a lot of, there's a lot of public agencies going, but the one I found most objectionable, I should say, was the water company, because I went to and listened into every single meeting, either attended or listened to every single meeting. And so I know a lot about a lot of you and the positions you took and your response to the public. So why I'm here tonight is to say, once we get the new board, the public will have a way to come back at you. Up until this time, we did not have that. So I want you to think about that and what you're doing. And knowing that I will be watching you also to see how it's being handled.
Ms. Noltmeyer, thank you for your public comment. Your time is now up.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just to let you know, Ms. Noltmeyer, the board is all in place and it is all elected now. It's the permanent people are on the board now, and the committees have been assigned. Every director is on committees, and your right to have people recalled has always been there. It was there before, and it is still there. So those things are still in place. So should you wish to use those. Thank you. Item three, resolution from the board, is there any outside?
There's not.
Thank you. Item three, a resolution to the board of directors of Santa Fe Valley Water Agency authorizing the purchase order to Lead Road for planning services for the Sand Canyon Reservoir Expansion Project, and to find that this is not a project subject to CEQA. And I think, Mr. Mayo, who do we have presenting tonight?
Good evening. Good evening, Chairman Cooper and members of the committee. My name is Marco Montado. I am an engineer and project manager for the planning services for the Sand Canyon Reservoir Expansion Project. I think we're waiting for, oh, there you go. We have an item here in front of you this evening to recommend approval for the resolution authorizing a purchase order to Lee & Rowe, Inc. for planning services for the Sand Canyon Reservoir Expansion Project. And tonight I will present to you. Next slide, please. The Sand Canyon Reservoir is located on the east side of SCV Water's surface area, approximately 1.5 miles south of the 14th Freeway off of the Sand Canyon exit, Sand Canyon Road exit. Residential areas surround the reservoir to the immediate east and west. SCV Water has identified a need to increase both emergency and operational storage capacity at this location. To serve the eastern portion of its service area. This work is in coordination with the findings on the ongoing master plan. Next slide, please. The Sand Canyon Reservoir is located on approximately 9.6 acres of land with dedicated hiking and riding trails. Design of the rectangular concrete reservoir began in 2004, with construction being completed in 2007. Designed as two 3.5 million gallon chambers, the overall storage volume of 7 million gallons can be operationally reduced during low demand periods. Next slide, please. Staff issued a request for proposals for planning services for the Sand Canyon Reservoir Expansion Project. The proposals were received, one by Lee & Rowe and the other by Black & Veatch. Based on the department's standard evaluation procedures, Lee & Rowe was selected as the most qualified firm to provide these services for the Sand Canyon Reservoir Expansion Project. This project will continue SCV Water strategic plan objectives B1, plan, design, and build facilities to meet demand, including storage capacity and interconnections between regional and retail water systems, and B2, plan and budget for long-term replacements and improvements. Next slide, please. The planning services scope of work includes various levels of data collection and review, with the ultimate goal of developing 30% planning level design drawings and probable costs of construction for the improvements needed to maximize the total storage capacity of the Sand Canyon Reservoir facility. Due to the topography and active landslide history of the area, risks associated with seismic events must be incorporated into any proposed improvements. Existing easements, jurisdictional boundaries, or dedicated trail uses will also be taken into consideration. Next slide, please. This slide shows the project schedule. This evening here, we are at the Engineering and Operations Committee meeting. We're planning to take this project to the board on, is that the correct date, Elizabeth?
No, that's the update.
Yeah, so I thought we were going January.
Correct.
Yep.
So what was printed is outdated. You guys will now be seeing this in the January 17th report.
Yep. So we're going to the board on January 16th, correct?
17th.
Sorry, apologies. Yeah. If the board approves, staff will notice to proceed to the consultant. Mm-hmm. Planning services should be expected to be completed in August 2023. Next slide, please. Staff recommends that the Engineering and Operations Committee recommend that the Board of Directors, firstly, find that the approval of the proposed action is exempt from SEC review because the project involves only feasibility and planning studies, and secondly, approve adoption of the resolution authorizing the purchase order for planning services for the Sand Canyon Reservoir expansion to Lee & Rowe, Inc. for the amount not to exceed $420,000. If appropriate, I'd like to request this item be considered on the consent calendar for the January 17th board meeting. This concludes my presentation. Thank you, and with that, I'll bring it back to you, Chairman Cooper.
Very good, thank you, Mark. Let's pull that. Any questions from outside?
Seeing none.
Ms. Moltemeyer, you have a question or a comment?
Yes, are you saying that the new agency is already sitting here?
Yes. Elections were November 7th.
I know that. I know when they're supposed to take effect.
They're all in effect now.
Okay. It really isn't made very prominent, pronounced to the public.
It was all on the agenda at the board meeting.
At which board meeting?
The one you just attended, and everybody was sworn in at that meeting while you were sitting there.
It wasn't made very evident. With that, I'm bit disappointed in how it's being handled. But on this particular item, I particularly find your actions to be questionable when you're kind of maneuvering things around to kind of change what the effect was. And I don't understand why you were doing that. It isn't really made real plain, except you're trying to negotiate around CEQA in what you're doing. I'll have to think about these in a different way, watching who is doing this and why, because I know it would affect me the next time you come up for election. I assume there are going to be elections.
There are some members that will be up in 2 years. The ones that were just elected will be there for 4 years.
All right. So some for 4 years and some for 2 years.
No. There will be elections in 2 years for those people that weren't up for election this time. Next time after that will be 4 years for the people that were just up
for election this time. How many were up for election this time? Because as someone always votes for every election.
There were three seats that were up for election this time.
to the entire public?
To the areas that they represent.
That they're coming from.
Yes.
Because it's very deceptive to me that it's being negotiated around where the public will not be able to really have a vote, because I didn't get to vote for anyone.
Yes, you did. My name was on your ballot.
Oh, that one for you.
Yes, my name was on your ballot.
Yes. So very few of us are getting to vote for.
No, everybody gets to vote in their district that are registered
voters. For a certain area.
Okay. Do you have a comment on the reservoir?
That probably doesn't do much good for any of us.
It's just like the city's election, just like the school board's election, just like the college's election. No difference.
Get to one person. Wait a
second. Do you have anything further on? Yes.
You get to vote for one person.
Next time you'll vote for two.
When do we get to vote for everyone on the board?
At each election, there are people that are up. The whole board doesn't come up at one time.
I know, but if we are selectively in one area, are we only going to be able to vote on people in that area?
In that area, yes.
Boy, I sure would have never voted for this the way it's coming out. To me,
it's
the same thing that we've been stuck with all this time, is that we can vote for one person. Would be, you know, so.
Next election, you'll get to vote for two, Ms. Mildemeyer.
I'll be happy when we can vote.
Every other election, you vote for two, the next election you vote for one. That's the way it'll be from now on.
It's not a very good system, that's all I can say.
We didn't design the system. The court did.
I don't think we're... is there anything further? I don't think it was presented to the public that way, and that's been my objection to everything you do, is that it's really done at a very minute area.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Yes. It's in the legislation. It was required.
Oh, it's too bad.
Okay. Mr. Mayo.
One item to discuss regarding CEQA. We are not trying to do an end around on CEQA. This is a planning study and therefore is exempt from CEQA. CEQA action will take place when and if we move forward with a project. Right now, we don't even have a project defined, only a study to evaluate whether or not we will come to a project. And that's when CEQA will be done, and that's when we can get public comment on that CEQA.
Very good. Thank you. Hey, questions from the committee on the project?
So we received two proposals from Lee and Rel and Black and BTAC.
Beach.
Did we get a cost from them? Because it was not shown in the presentation.
As a design study, we don't evaluate based off of cost. We would evaluate based off of value per hour, number of hours associated. That's part of our criteria. But the actual cost of the project for a consultant style project, not a competitive bid, is not based on our cost study. So although we do have a cost for both, we don't usually list those.
Okay.
Yeah. Professional service contract awards don't require the low bid, like, you know, construction cost.
But we do have a number that we don't want to go above it, right? Just not to exceed 420K.
And that's the number coming from the consultant that we selected.
Thank you.
Other questions? President Martin?
Yeah, Courtney, thank you. Thank you, Mark, for the presentation. We're here in two places. one question, I think I probably brought this up before. In the statement, Santa Cruz Valley Water Agency has identified a need to increase water storage capacity. Is this based on the 2013 study, which is awaiting the revised master plan from Hazen, or is this a new evaluation? You probably explained it before. I'm just
it's fine.
Repeat it
again. Yeah, it's combined. Do you want me to answer that, Mark?
You can if you like. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, it's a combined. So it is based partially on that 2013 study for emergency storage, but it's also based off of master planning for the operational storage increase. And so it has a dual purpose. It's going to have some additional storage from both. We're also working in conjunction with the master plan that is actively going on, and we'll be utilizing those numbers within this study to verify the need and the size of the new with the new data. So the timing of this is perfect to fit into that.
I'm not challenging the need for it. I just wanted to get a clarification because I know that 13 study has been out there for a long time, and now you're going to update that. So that's good. Second one is in the financial consideration, the project is not initially included in the agency's FY22-23 budget. And I guess I'm curious why it wasn't included. And why now and not them, sort of thing?
It's included in future year budget for our planning. So we're advancing it, and we're advancing it because it corresponds with the master planning effort. So, sorry. Somebody's at my front door. But it corresponds with the master planning effort, and it fit into our schedule of work that we have coming up. So we were able to advance it.
Thank you for the clarification. Listen, the process we use with our on-call, we've got a list of qualified on-call people, and the qualification-based selection is the media. So I'm very supportive of the process, and I think we've done a good job. And you had two outstanding consultants proposing. I'm sure we're going to get a good job, and I would support this moving to consent.
Peterson.
I'm very familiar with the San Quentin system since I was around here when it was constructed. Are we having any operational issues with the reservoir or the pump station?
Yes, currently we are. I believe my understanding is it was too small. There's one day in particular that reservoir was cycled three times. So 7 million gallons times three. So quite a lot for the size.
So operationally, they're able to run it, but from a design perspective, we're cycling it more than we would normally do from our design. So we're looking to meet our design, but we're able to keep up. We're not draining the reservoir, but we are cycling it three times in a single day. That's quite a bit.
That is a lot. Yeah. Is there any structural issues with the reservoir?
Excuse me?
I don't think so. Not that I know of.
Because during the construction, it was that time when we had 50 inches of rain here in the valley. And that grading was going on at the same time for that reservoir. So I know that very well up there. I'm in favor. I'm a little bit sad that Black and Veatch wasn't picked because they did the original design of the reservoir and the system and the pump stations and the pipelines. I'm just curious who was the principal engineer that was quoting or provided the proposal. Mark?
It was the same team. I believe we took into consideration past experience, and from my understanding, there was a lot of litigation that happened during the construction. And unfortunately, we wanted to avoid that, or we want to avoid that in the future. So portion of that was considered.
You have the name of who is listed as principal? Do you have the proposals in front of you?
Give me a second. Let me open it up.
I'm just curious. That's all.
I don't remember.
Is it Steve?
We've been seeing too many of these. I don't know that Steve Diamond was on there.
No, for me.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I understand there was a lot of issues after the construction was completed.
Yes.
And I was thrown into that a little bit too myself. But I'm in favor of going forward with the study.
And Mark, if you get that information, email it to me, and I'll pass it on to
Mr. Yeah, it was Jeff Neiman. Yep,
that's right.
So wait, if I may, so did Pearson. So the issue was not with the design, but the actual construction.
Yes, concrete pour was bad.
Yeah, had some grading issues to go along with it.
Yeah. Who did inspection on that?
It was Flowers.
That's right.
Yeah. I remember so
good memory.
He hasn't been around for.
Yeah, they kind of disbanded, I believe.
Yeah. When we got done with the reservoir, you could see, you could stand inside and see daylight through the concrete.
That's bad.
Yeah. It was a very poor form. Mm-hmm. And you had to go back and repair it.
Back to you, Jeff.
I want to make one more quick statement about how the staff handles CEQA. Every project that comes before this committee, to my knowledge, hasn't addresses the requirement needed for CEQA and compliance with CEQA regulation. There's never been an effort that I have ever seen where we tried to go around CEQA. Every single project addresses it. Every single project evaluates it by our professional staff and consultant team. And there's an assessment made on what level of CEQA compliance needs to be done at this particular effort. So I do appreciate what staff is doing, and I don't appreciate comment would indicate that we're trying to do end runs around the CEQA requirement.
And I will further on that, President Cooper, or President Martin. We are actually adding in to our title what the CEQA action is. So it's crystal clear when these come to before the agenda, even looking at the first page of the agenda, you know that CEQA action is taking place. In this case, an exemption from CEQA is listed in the title of the item.
One question, Courtney, is the need for the expansion is all for our need. This isn't for developer need out there. This is all of our need. Based on the report that we did in 2013, 9 years ago.
And the additional master plans after that, and with added to the additional master plan we are doing now, we'll add to that total. But yes, it's all for our needs, existing needs. It's not an expansion project.
They were part of the first reservoir when we did that.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So committee's okay. We'll move this on and consent calendar. All right. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Item 4. This is going to be presented by Shadi. Recommend finding that the approval of a resolution for construction contract with Pacific Hydro Tech and a purchase order to Kennedy Jenks Engineering Services during construction and a purchase order to MKN for construction management and inspection services for well 201. Groundwater improvements. Are there any comments from the outside?
On the previous one? No.
No, on the one item 4.
Seeing that as of right now.
Very good. Ms. Nolgemeier.
Normally we do our presentation first.
Oh, excuse me. I read the instructions.
Yes, Shadi will be doing this project.
All right, great. Thank you, Chair Cooper. Good evening and Happy New Year, everybody. This is Shadi Bader, Senior Engineer, and this item before you tonight is to recommend a resolution to award the construction contract to Pacific Hydrotech Corp. for Well 201 VOC Groundwater Treatment Improvements Project. Next slide, please. Thank you. Here's a general location map showing Well 201. The Well 201 is located at 24050 Valencia Boulevard, right next to Chase Bank and Whole Foods across from the Valencia Mall. Next slide, please. Here's a site layout for the site, including the additional VOC treatment system. Some of the new improvements are highlighted in yellow. A few years ago, the agency predecessors installed an ion exchange system to treat for perchlorate. The existing well components are highlighted in green. The project includes the addition of up to 2 granular activated carbon vessels, or GAC, GAC media, that will help trap VOCs, a chemical building, pipeline connections, 1 backwash water tank, and security fencing. Next slide, please. Here's a 3D rendering showing the components I just mentioned. This gives us a visual representation how the site will look like once construction is complete. Again, I highlighted some of the components that we will be going to be installing as part of this project in yellow. The green are components that will stay the same. Next slide, please. So the project was advertised online on the agency's Planet Bid channel on October 6th of 2022. The project was also advertised in the Signal newspaper on three separate dates in October. Bids were electronically received and opened on Planet Bids at 2 p.m. on December 19, 2022. We received 7 construction bids, and Pacific Hydrotech Corp came in as the lowest bidder at $7,726,700. The engineer's estimate for this project is about $7.7 million. We have worked with Pacific Hydrotech Corp before, and they are currently performing a few projects for the agency, including the Santa Clara and Han B. Wells PFAS groundwater treatment project and the Earl Schmidt filtration plant wash water return and sludge collection project. I would like to also note that this project supports SCV Water Strategic Plan Objective Number D.2, which is to proactively install, operate, and maintain groundwater treatment infrastructure to avoid impacts on water supply reliability. Next slide, please. Kennedy Jinks, the designer and the engineer of record for this project, has provided the proposal in front of you to provide engineering services during construction in the amount of $510,000. Next slide, please. MKN also submitted a proposal to provide construction management and inspection services during construction for this project in the amount of $700,000. Both Kennedy Jinks and MKN are on time and material basis. Next slide, please. Here's the anticipated schedule for the construction of this project. This evening, we are presenting to you the ENO committee. If the committee approves the recommendation this evening, we are requesting to expedite this project and present it at the January 17th board meeting. This request will help with the price volatility as much as possible. And if the board chooses to approve this project, we anticipate issuing a notice to proceed sometime early February 2023. And we're allowing 425 calendar days, so that puts us to begin water deliveries from Well 201 around summer of 2024. Next slide, please. So with that, the staff respectfully requests that the Engineering and Operations Committee recommends that the Board of Directors first find the contract agreement exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA Guidelines Section 15301, which is a minor alteration of an existing facility and negligible with no expansion of use or additional extraction of water, and alternatively exempt from CEQA under CEQA Guidelines Section 15303, which is the treatment system reflect limited construction of facilities where only minor modifications are made. And second, to adopt the resolution awarding a contract to construction to Pacific Hydrotech Corporation for the Well 201 VOC Treatment Improvements Project in the amount of $7,726,700. And third, to authorize the general manager to execute a purchase order for engineering services during construction with Kennedy Jinks for an amount not to exceed $510,000. And fourth, to authorize the general manager to execute a purchase order for construction management and inspection services with MKN for an amount not to exceed $700,000. I would also like to request that we place this item on consent calendar if you feel appropriate. And with that, I have completed my presentation, and I will hand it over back to you, Chair Cooper.
Very good. Thank you, Shadi. Anybody out? Any questions for us?
I'm seeing none online.
Very good. Thank you. Ms. Noltemeyer.
Yes, I want to know if you are item number 3 or 4. Did you skip over 93?
You spoke on item 3.
I'm sorry, what?
You spoke on item 3.
really been strange. But you certainly didn't do what was in here on 3.
We did exactly what's in there.
So which one, where are you now?
Item 4.
It's not even in here?
Yes, it's in the package.
It is in the package? Okay, I'm seeing at the moment while I try to
look about find page out 20. Your
very strange way of conducting it.
Around page 19.
Page 19. I have page 17. It's funny that everything you're doing apparently isn't much.
I have page 13 starts the actual committee memorandum, and then the PowerPoint is on page 9.
Yes, I do.
Can you give me the page? I have the agenda sent up to me.
Page 13. 14?
14.
Is it 13? The PowerPoint is starting on page
9. Page 13.
That's the PowerPoint, and this is the resolution here. Item 4.
Oh, this is what you're on now.
Okay, did you have some questions, Ms. Moltemeyer?
Yes, it seems like you are ignored entirely item number 3.
No, we discussed item 3. The committee recommended sending it to the board with your consent. And that's the one you asked to speak on.
We certainly can discuss what I'm having here.
You have any comments on item 4?
This is the VOCs at Well 201. This is just a letter. What I am seeing is a summary and a discussion, and it has VOC treatment and VOC well. Now, do we have the same?
Yes.
Okay. All right. On this one, again, I can't understand. I'm sorry. I guess I'm so disgusted with how things are going. VOC treatment is necessary at the Well 201 site.
Yes.
All of this is pointing out what you've been covering up for a long time. And so what are you going to do about the VOC treatment for the Well 201 site? We run into this all the time. And it's a total of $7,726,700 for you to treat this now?
That's correct.
Is that right? And so for all these years, you've been ignoring it. It's finally been caught. It's necessary at almost all new wells. Anyone that's brave enough to drink the water, you're probably thinking less about it. We're talking about a huge amount of money again, just for one well. Just for one well.
This is for Well 201.
That's correct. And this is what your problem is with all your wells. Okay, only that I rather object to the way you're running the meeting and the way you send out the information.
Very good. Is that the end of your comments, then?
Yes, but I think what we have to do is be very careful about those we hope.
Thank you. Okay. Questions from the committee? Thank you.
Great. Activated carbon. Are we using any wells in Santa Clarita?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Are we using it at any other wells?
Yeah.
Shadi, do you want to answer that?
Sure, I can take that question. Yes. Actually, we do not use carbon right now at any of our facilities. So this is going to be the first project that we're going to be treating for VOCs in the valley. The levels right now of 12201 are way below the MCL.
Yeah.
But this is going to be the first location where we're going to be treating using GAC.
And how are we going to dispose of it, of that media once we hit breakthrough?
Sure. So it's going to be very similar to what we use right now for our ion exchange media. The provider for that media is going to come and pick it up and they'll dispose of it. They might have options. Some they can regen somewhere outside of their facilities. Some may actually burn it. So there's options on how to dispose of it. And we will get to that point once we get a contractor on board to provide that media for us.
Okay. Would I get a copy of the COC form once we take the vendor to pick up the media from those tanks? Chain of custody for the media.
Sure, we can do that.
And also one more thing. I know I've mentioned this before. Are we going to have any CCTV on this site? What's the security for this project in terms of fencing and post-survey television?
Sure. So during construction, we're actually going to install 3 construction cameras just to monitor the activities during construction. After construction is complete, we're going to discuss with our buildings and facilities if we're going to install permanent, which probably we're going to be installing a permanent camera, just like we do in other locations that we have. But during construction, we're going to have at least 3 construction cameras running to monitor.
And just to follow up, who monitors those cameras, that light beam here at SCV Water? Would that be you?
That would be anybody from our team. It'll be either me, anybody from our section. I have access to it. It'll be also our inspectors. It'll be our construction manager. So it'll be quite a few people looking at it. Just to see if everything's going okay. So that's the normal routine that we do usually with our projects.
Okay. Thank you, Shadi. Back to you, Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? President Martin.
Thank you, Chair Cooper. Good to see you, Shadi, even though it's from your undisclosed location.
Right around the corner.
Right around the corner. Yeah, I saw the lights come on. Yeah, it looks like we have an excellent team. I have the question, have we worked with MKN before?
Yes, we use MKN for design services, but this is going to be the first project with us doing construction management and inspection. And we're excited to have them as a new vendor supplying that kind of services to us. But just to answer your question, this is our first time working with them as construction manager.
I think it's great, Leah. I think it's an important project we need to move forward on. I do think that might be a little bit too much money to go with concern, and I think the rest of the board would appreciate seeing the details of the project. It was a pretty quick presentation. So I support it moving forward, but as an action item.
Very good. Mr. Peterson.
Shadi, unfortunately, I have a lot of memory about 201. And along with Keith, of course. But one of the issues that we're dealing with at 201 when we're doing the installation of the perchloric vessels was the property lines. Are we still have a permission to use a little bit more excess space around there to do this work?
Yep. So during the design of this project, we approached the Whole Foods area and the owners of that lot, and we presented this project over to them. So they're on board, and we're actually going to invite them to the pre-construction meeting.
Right.
So they're well aware of the project. They know about it, and they're supportive of the project. So that's always good to see that your stakeholders are involved and they're actually all in. So that's good to see. But we did approach them, Director Peterson, and they're good to go with this one.
The other issue is on the other side is with the Paseo that runs right through the site. Of course, there's going to be some restrictions on that when the contractor moves equipment, things like that. But I'm sure you have talked to the city about those kind of things to deal with that. But so all my last question is really about the vessels for the GAC. Are they actually proprietary, or are they going to be a standard design type of vessel?
Yep, they're going to be the standard design GAC vessels. So when we went out to the bid, we had listed at least three manufacturers, but it's the normal operating GAC vessel that we spec'd.
Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of bringing it to the board. Very good.
Is the contractor furnishing the vessel?
Yes, so.
Yes, so on this project, we elected to have the contractor purchase the vessels and the media, and it's just for coordination. It'll be much easier to coordinate it. As you guys know, the site is pretty tight. So it kind of made sense to have the contractor be in charge of the whole setup. So they'll be purchasing the vessel. They'll be flying in the vessels, installing the vessels, anchoring the vessels, and doing the whole project. So it kind of made sense in this project just to do that kind of arrangement.
Very good.
One more follow-up. Sure. This is the same media in our media pilot program, right? Deactivated carbon? Or is this something else?
So
Shady, we were experimenting with different ion exchange, and I think one of the media is an activated carbon. Is that the same one that's going to be used here?
Yep, yep. This is going to be a GAC, so it's going to be activated carbon, yes. So
from the same vendor, is that correct?
Yep, this is going to be the winning bid came in from Evoqua. So, yes, so this is going to be supplied by Evoqua.
Okay. All right.
I think getting rid of GAC with PFAS is much more difficult than getting rid of it with VOC.
Right. I just wondering if
during
the podcast.
Very good. So we'll move this on to the board with the same presentation showing the site layout and what we're doing.
Yep. Shadi will have another opportunity to talk to everybody.
Yes. Very good. Thank you, Shadi.
I'll take it. I love talking vessels and media. Anytime I have a chance, I'll take it. Thank you all. Nice seeing you.
Good to see you.
Shadi, there's a lot of gray in that beard.
Item 5, Mr. Abercrombie, monthly operations production report.
The report in the packet, as usual, covers the previous month, so this is through the end of November. I would point out, I think it's on page 33 in the packet, or page 5 of 102, depending on how you read it. That's a table that shows rainfall, historical rainfall. You'll see we did get a little bit in November, 1.89 inches, which was a good start. I got some numbers today to bring you up to date. December, we got just over 6 inches.
Wow.
And to date, this is probably really as of yesterday, I'm guessing, we got 3.27 inches in January. So we're off to a good start. So that's the real impact of the 9 inches we've gotten isn't seen in any of the graphs that you see below. But you do see some of the water level graphs in the following pages either flatten out, you know, stop their slow decrease, or actually some of the well sites water cell level increases over time. So that's a good sign. That's all I have on that report. Thank you.
That's all pretty good. Any questions?
None.
Questions from the committee?
The point was hoping to maybe get double digits for December again. Hopefully we'll make up in January.
If you go on DWR's website and you look at stations and go to the 8-station index, and it shows you where we're at right now. We're less water than we had this time last year, even though it feels like it's a heck of a lot more, but it's actually significantly less.
Maybe I can see that.
and 13 last year, 13 inches in December.
Yeah,
that's hard to
January's not over yet.
Come on, January. Well, we didn't get anything in January, so we're ahead of the game already.
Actually, I stopped talking too soon. I did have one other thing to point out. Just didn't see my second sticky note here on my tablet. So if I could just jump in and add one more thing. If you'll go to page 7 of 102 or page 35, that page and the previous page are the tables that basically show the production value of magnifying glass gradient, but those show production numbers by well site, by turnout location, et cetera, for the entire agency. One thing that's changed since you would have seen this last time on page 35 there, there's in, sort of in the middle of the page, there's a line that reads less raw water input versus output correction. And there's some negative numbers in a few months there. That was basically the result of when the Water Resources Group was preparing the annual water report. This was preparing the 2021 report for the calendar year 21. And this was in July, August of this year when they were sort of crunching the numbers and final trying to, you know, get the 21 report out. They came across a strange situation where basically they noticed that the combined influent going into the two treatment plants was greater than the outflow going from the plants into the distribution system. And as great as our operators are, they can't actually make water. So you knew there was an issue there. So and at about the same time, the operations group had noticed a number, two turnouts in particular, where they discovered that some of the production meters or the input meters at those turnout locations were reading flows when they weren't flowing. In other words, the station was off and you were getting what's actually, it's a common thing sometimes because it has a term, it's called ghost reading. And essentially, some of these meters were erroneously reading flow when the station was off. So between water resource and operations and a number of months of number crunching and figuring out, we sort of narrowed it down to what we thought the issues were. I came up with a solution to deal with the errors in the past. And the issues going forward is operations has replaced the meters, which happen to be fairly old meters. Newer meters, typically, even though we use the same general style meter, they may not all be the same manufacturer, but newer meters of those type typically now have features in them to let you sort of have a fail safe against that. So the meter will recognize that situation and not sort of go crazy on itself. So the result was that for the 21 calendar year, there was about 1,052 acre feet that we took out in certain months. And for the 22 calendar year so far, and this is really from January to June-ish, again, we discovered the issue in July or so of 22, it was about 421 acre feet. So those numbers, that's shown as a separate line item to be clear of the adjustment. And again, this only impacted imported water number reporting. It didn't have anything to do with wells or anything like that. But, you know, it was a significant number. And so we've made the adjustments to basically and corrected the plethora of other things that, you know, tie back to all of that stuff over time. So that's
are these acoustic meters or?
They're magnetic.
Magnetic. And so by doing this, this helps us with the number that goes to the state for water loss?
Yeah, because that would have all been water loss. Obviously, you can't sell more water than you actually use. You can't. So yes, this was a direct hit to that. Very good.
No public comment.
Anything from the committee for Mr. Abercrombie? Very good. Thank you, Keith. Oh, question for the committee. You know, we get a lot of these well graphs. It takes a lot of paper doing these all the time. Would the committee be amenable to putting them on electronically so that you can look at them as opposed to the big board packet all the time or the committee packet all the time? Usually it's only a couple of key wells that I look at, that it's not all of them.
So meaning the packet is sent via PDF in its entirety, but it's delivered to us by mail without the graphs?
Without the well graphs. And when you want to look at them, they're online. Would that make things easier for them?
Let me check with April, because I believe what I mail out has to match what I post online.
Okay. Well, maybe we can do it anyways.
And I guess any abnormalities, you would bring that up, just like you brought those negative figures to us, right? For pensions.
Now, I can see, you know, my thought was those graphs do not change a whole lot,
right?
Month to month, maybe a quarterly type of report.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I like that.
And I would point out that these graphs essentially, not the 5-year sort of, you know, how each well has two pages. We have the historical long-term graph, and then we have the backside that has the blown up 5-year only version, so you can see it better. We do post online every month the whole timeline graphs, not the 5-year graphs, but all of the other ones for all of the wells. So that is posted as per you know, rules when basically we were formed, LAFCO rules, and that's online in a special location on our online website that you can access that every month.
So we could add that link or path as opposed to the graphs in the agenda statement, if that works for you.
Would that be acceptable to everybody?
Yeah.
Why don't we see if we could, let's do that. Since it's posted already. Yeah.
Very good. Can we see it right now?
Jonathan?
That's okay to check. Bill, is that okay?
Sure. And while she's looking for that, we can go ahead with item 6. Mr. Mayo, capital improvement projects and construction status.
We have the capital improvement projects before you. We have a few of the projects that unfortunately went over, but most of them we have done a good job of keeping those change orders low. And we are also wrapping up a number of projects and closing them out. And hopefully we'll be moving on to the next projects, which is the next page. Has all of our projects that have really just started more recently and are moving forward. So a lot of work still going on. If you notice from Rochelle's report about the budget, the first quarter of this fiscal year, we didn't spend a lot of money, but we did get a lot of invoices. So we have approved those invoices and are now spending those money. So on the updated report, or when Rochelle does her next report, we should be showing that we are moving along with both our PAYGO and our net funded budgets, and doing a good job of keeping those projects moving. And definitely want to compliment Jason and Shadi and the CIP group for keeping those projects moving and in the forefront, and getting those invoices paid when they need to be paid. That's why I have any questions.
The Vista Canyon recycled tank, is that in service now? That's all.
The Vista Canyon recycled tank is not in service. We just got approval to do potable water fill. And so we are going to be filling with potable water to do final VOC testing or testing of the tank, make sure everything's good to put it into use. We were trying to wait to use recycled water, but the treatment plant has been off spec since December 1st or 2nd, primarily because of the rain and water intrusion. So their INI is messing with their chemistry of the treatment plant, and they're not able to keep the product water in a treatable or a distributed fashion. So we will have to wait until that gets back online before we're putting that into the tank. In the meanwhile, we're going to test it with potable water. Fortunately, there are not a lot of people doing irrigation right now that need it. So it will be online by the time the irrigation is needed. We're anticipating by end of January that testing will be complete and it should be online.
I thought the water factory was kind of waiting on us to get that tank all set. And we were waiting on...
They were. We had some back and forth with that, and we got through all our health department issues and our DDW issues and our permitting, and the tank was still a little bit behind, but now it's been an off-spec issue. So it's the treatment plant has been down. They went down earlier in the year as well, near the summertime. So we just are keeping a monitor on it. Part of that is because they don't have the full anticipated sewer flow into the treatment plant because the subdivisions that are supposed to be going into that treatment plant are not all completed.
And when they're out of spec, when they're not able to operate effectively, where are they sending that water?
They have to send it through sewer. Actually, all of the water, even treated water, when it is on spec, is currently going to sewer.
Any questions outside?
Seeing none from the public.
Questions from the committee? Oh, no. Very good. And you found the...
I did find it. So from our website, if you go to Your Water, and then Well Water Production and Levels, then they'll bring you down here. And it opens up a PDF. It looks like, Keith, is this the same thing that's in the packet?
Yeah, so it has all the tables for annual production by well from 1987 for each year. That's what you're going to scroll through here for each year from 87 to current.
So you can see what each well's got.
And then it will start the graphs after that.
And how often do you update this?
Monthly.
It's a lot of data. Oh. I'll work with April and Leticia. I'm getting
It's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay, item 7, planning calendar.
This is our planning calendar. Liz has highlighted the January 5th, where we're at today. You look on to February, I'm not trying to scare you, it's just realistic. We have a lot of projects coming. We might push a few of those. We'll try to balance that out with either March or April. Wow. But it may be that we have to be very concise in our presentations in February and get a lot of projects to you. Yeah, it's a long list. We have a number of operations projects as well as engineering projects coming in that month. We are still pretty full all the way through to May and June. We have additional projects coming. So we've planned out for quite a bit of new projects coming to you each committee meeting. So this is going to be a good committee. We're going to get a lot of information, hopefully get a lot of work out there.
Very good. It always seems like the years that I've been on this committee that it's feast or famine, and we'll go through periods when, boy, it just seems like there's nothing, and then all of a sudden it's boom, and there's a whole bunch of them, and I think we're heading in that business. Any questions for Mr. Mayo outside?
Me not.
Some of these projects from the following fiscal year, or are they all projected for this year, for this fiscal year?
No, some of them will be projected for next fiscal year. So they will start the project now, we'll start getting approvals, but we may or may not be able to fully start. We'll get them started. Some of them were approved within this budget. Ones that weren't, we'll be sure to let you know if we're looking for approval for the next budget as we go forward. But several of the items that are listed in February were actually originally slated to go last year, calendar year, and they got pushed due to environmental or site constraints. And so we wanted to make sure we have everything correct and in a row before we bring it to this committee. Make sure our easements are in a row and everything else is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Courtney? Item 8, Mr. Abercrombie. Treatment distribution operations.
So just a few things to point out. One, I've talked about this every meeting for months now, but our AMI project is on the final leg here. We have 57 meters to go. That was as of yesterday, so hopefully, well, I don't know if they were out today, but we still expect to be complete by the end of the month.
That was the 10,000 that we were doing?
4,900, almost 5,000. And they started the work in August 30th, actually. So that's been a very successful project so far. As I reported last time, there have really been no issues hardly at all, and it's worked real well. With that said, we're looking at our next AMI project. This is a project to replace the meters in the Tesoro area, former Newhawk County area. This project just went out for an RFP. Bids are due back January 30th. We would propose to be starting April 1st, and it includes about 1,155 meters. And that'll take us a couple months, we estimate. So, we've had a number of resin changeouts throughout our system in the past month or so. At the InWells project, we've changed out resin in Train A. This is an Evoqua lead resin. You may recall we used two different types of resin in the PFAS system at the InWells. This one was the original resin loaded in August or September of 2020. And we just changed it out. So it has a very good timeline. It costs more than the Purolite resin, and so we're doing the numbers, and it looks like they may not be that far off in comparative economics, if you will. Another vessel on the train is being changed out today. It was changed out today. And we've changed out resin in the Saugus perchlorate treatment facility recently. We have two wells that we're doing some work. Well, other more than that, but two have been mentioned. We have Mitchell 5A. This is a well that's going to be abandoned for the construction of a bridge across the Santa Clara River over near the
Jefferson Bridge.
Yes, the Canyon. Vista Canyon project. The work we're doing right now is to prepare for the abandonment. So we're pulling the pumps and motors and whatnot in preparation for the destruction of the well. We have another well, Mitchell Well 5B, which is in the general vicinity that isn't impacted by the bridge. That well has been down due to some downhole work that needs to be done. So we're in the process of, we have a contractor lined up to do some of the rehab, but we just are waiting for sunnier days to get in there and do that. Mm-hmm. So those two things are happening. That's my opinion. Very good.
Any questions for Mr. Abercrombie?
Seeing none.
Very good. From the committee, questions? Seeing none. Okay. Thank you, Keith. Mm-hmm. Item 9, Courtney, general report.
Thank you very much. I only have one quick item, and then I'm going to transfer over for a presentation from Corey here, who's been waiting patiently to show us the progress on the master plan. But first, I wanted to welcome Wailan Lee, our newest engineer. Wailan grew up in Hong Kong and moved to the U.S. when she was 17. She received her bachelor's degree in civil engineering from the University of Oklahoma. She's been working for private companies for the last 19 years, focused on site development, land development, and school improvement projects. So she started back in November, November 7th, but we just managed to get her to the committee today. So please welcome Wailan.
Welcome.
Welcome.
And we go big red.
And with that, we will introduce Tori with Hazen and Sawyer on give us an update on our water master plan.
All right. Thank you, Tori. Tori Opiyama with Hazen and Sawyer. I'm our project manager for the water master plan project. So I'm here to give a short presentation just to update you on the water master plan. I'm happy to answer any questions as we go along. Next slide. So what is a water master plan? Comprehensive planning document for your system. It typically consists of descriptions of an existing system, future projections of demands, technical analyses, and recommended improvements, also known as capital improvement programs. Periodic updates are needed every 5 to 20 years due to changes in land use, system needs, regulatory requirements, or regional factors. Next slide. So what will MVP Water achieve with this master plan? So the 5 project objectives that we identified are to develop a comprehensive documentation of your system, identify operational benefits and improvements of a merged water service area, develop a calibrated one system hydraulic model, achieve a thorough understanding of the condition of your facilities, your pipelines, pump stations, reservoirs, wells, and treatment plants. And finally, to develop a prioritized one system CIP, allowing you to establish defensible capacity fees. So major scope elements as part of the master plan are data collection, field condition assessments, hydraulic model development and analysis, system evaluation, CIP development, and the master plan report, which includes the analysis, findings, and recommendations of all major scope elements. And I'll give you an update on where we stand on some of these major scope elements. Next slide. So data collection complete. This is where we gathered all the information that we could from staff, from engineering, from operations, as-built and all that, reviewed it, and just identified what was applicable to this updated master plan. Field condition assessments. So this is currently in progress with scheduled completion in Q1 of this year. So this is where we have a team of engineers and scientists that go out to selected critical facilities in your system, mechanical engineers, several engineers, electrical engineers, and assess the condition of your facilities, your wells, your treatment plants, your pump stations. In the following slides, I just have some pictures of our team out in the field. Next slide. So we have about 4 weeks of condition assessments that are taking place. 2 weeks took place in December, and the next 2 weeks will take place starting Monday of next week. These are some pictures of our team out in the field in the month of December. The Hazen staff are the folks in the yellow vests and the hard hats. Next slide. Our team move. We have civil engineers, electrical engineers, and mechanical engineers out at some of your sites. Next slide. Next slide. Hydraulic modeling analysis, hydraulic modeling development analysis is another major part of the scope of this project, which is also currently in progress with scheduled for completion in Q1 of this year. Next slide. And then future tasks include CIP development, which is scheduled for Q2, Q3 of this year. And then finally, development of the master plan report, which is a future task, Q4, 23. Which will start in Q4 of this year and kind of spill into 2024. We phased it and aligned the project to come to the CIP recommendations first. Based on working with staff, the desire was to identify the projects that need to be done first so we can get those in the books and start the planning process for those and then kind of follow up with a fully compiled master plan report. So that's where we're moving to the CIP development first and then the final master plan report. Slide. Here's an overall schedule of where we are on this project from where we started to where we're headed. So this project officially started back in August of this year, starting with data collection and asset inventory, and then through condition assessment is that next task that we show completing in March of this year. And really data collection is complete, asset inventory is substantially complete. It's the condition assessment portion of that task that's still ongoing and will continue through the first quarter. Hydraulic model development, that started back in September, and we still have about a month or so to go on that, scheduled for completion in the first quarter of this year. And then we'll move on to system evaluation, February, March timeframe of this year, and then CIP development in the April through August timeframe, which will identify the CIP recommendations as a result of the master plan. And then finally, the master plan report, which will start kind of Q4 of this year and then extend into Q1 of 2024. Next slide. That's my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions on the progress of the master plan.
Any questions from outside?
Seeing none.
Very good. Questions from the committee?
Thank you for the presentation, Tori. Regarding slide on page 148, the project schedule, do you assess our current infrastructure at the moment, let's say at whatever we had at August 2022, but you also take into account any future projects that are ongoing and will be utilized by agency, you know, in 2023?
You want to expand?
Specifically the AMIs. Are you considering that as well?
So we are, I mean, looking at your facilities from different ways. So we look at it, we have our condition assessment team that's looking at it as they see it, right then and there. We're also doing a hydraulic modeling analysis that looks at your facilities, how they're sized based on to meet current demands and how they're sized to meet future demands, you know, based on demand water projections that are identified going out 5 to 20 years. So we look at it kind of from both ways, both from like a physical, what we see actually exists out there, and from a capacity and design standpoint, what we see in the hydraulic model. But what specifically regarding AMI?
No, well, so once we have that one on these automated meters, we're going to need some software to analyze that particular data. Will you also go that granular in terms of suggesting any particular platforms to you used by the agency to analyze that incoming data?
We're using the meter data that you have to build into our hydraulic model. Our scope doesn't necessarily get into the recommending the different software that you can use to analyze your AMI data, but we have that capability and we're happy to do that for you guys. It just wasn't, that's not a specific part of the master plan.
No, I mean, I leave that in good hands with the engineering team. So
yeah,
this is not a suggestion or recommendation. So I just want to get to know what kind of final product we get. And, Mr. Mayor, the CIP development, once that plan is in place, would you say 80% or 90%? What percentage of that will you adapt the recommendations?
So we'll look at that. And then once we develop the CIP, that will be an internal discussion with operations and other groups to see what the prioritization needs to be, understanding that our budget and our ability to do the work is finite. So we will spread that out over time and try to figure out how to lay that out. And then we will present that to the board as part of future budget presentations.
Okay. Do you utilize this study exclusively for future project, or is just one tool in your toolbox to determine the needs?
It is one tool, but it's probably our primary tool to establish our future projects. There are always additional projects that come in. There are pipe breaks. There's additional pipelines we may not have identified in this master plan. And this part of this master plan will actually identify future projects. The need for asset management project will be an identified CIP project, most likely coming out of this. They'll get into a more granular nature on those projects, but this is our stepping stone. This is the first tool that we use to identify all of the project needs, deficiencies in the system, where we can make improvements in the system to make it work as a single system, where we can run water between what used to be two water agencies and balance that system out. A lot of different features coming out of this report that will be identified in that master plan. But no, it's not the only one. There's also our own internal evaluation. A lot of that hopefully is also communicated to Hazen and Sawyer and to Tori's group to let them know what our operations already sees as issues. So again, most of the stuff we try to identify here, ultimately you're trying to use this not only as your planning of your future projects, but eventually you will use it to develop your new capacity to make sure everyone gets proper buy-in to the system and it contributes to those facilities.
Understood. And Mr. McCormick, any deficiencies that you think are prominent in the system that you and your team believe you convey that to Tori and his team for this analysis?
Yes, right? I mean, we've had, I don't know how many, but regular and a lot of meetings amongst different groups and sizes of groups on a regular basis to actually communicate and go through the various planning steps. And part of that has been sort of a download, if you will, of issues and things that we see or we think there's a problem and stuff. So we're doing our best to try to capture that and relay all that information.
Okay. Thank you.
President Martin.
Thank you for your presentation. I my attention was kind of drawn to page 139, where we have, I'll just quote, a thorough understanding of the condition of your facility, your pipeline, et cetera. How are you doing the evaluation of the condition of our pipeline? Is it a desktop evaluation based on material, age, installation, time, so forth?
Yeah, the pipeline is a desktop evaluation based on age, material, based on break history, whatever we can get as far as, you know, the desktop review of a pipeline. We're not doing any actual physical condition assessment of your pipelines, like sending cameras in.
How confident are you on the evaluation of condition from a desktop point of view?
Well, for pipelines, I mean, we have industry standards on how long certain materials last. Break history is a telling. I mean, sometimes installation can be installation mistakes can be a reason for breaks where you see like PVC is overstabbed and you have an excessive amount of breaks, you know, in a certain amount. So you kind of use a lot of different sources to identify, you know, where your pipelines may be in need of replacement sooner than later. In addition to material types of installation break history, we also are doing using the hydraulic model to identify pipelines that may be in need of replacement so we can identify where those pipelines, just based on diameter, are limiting fire flow availability, or where you might have a bottleneck in your system. So we kind of use multiple different sources to evaluate your pipelines.
The idea is we would use that tabletop study to then identify which pipelines we should do more in-depth study on, so that we're not replacing entire lengths based solely on a desktop study. But that desktop study gets us, it narrows the field so that we can only focus on the areas that probably need to be examined in more closer detail, and hopefully that narrows the replacement cost and area that we have to do.
Prioritizing the 14-inch PVC.
Director Martin, so questions made me aware of another issue. Are you also looking at the major system, the old wholesale system from the agency, the large pipelines and things like that? Are you looking at those also, the capacities?
Yeah, we're evaluating all aspects of your system, and then, of the three previous retail agencies plus Castaic, yes.
And then my favorite subject is corrosion. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at any of those kind of issues, cathodic protection or recommendations of what is going on today versus what we could be doing in the future as far as corrosion protection?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be looking regarding corrosion protection for your pipelines. You're talking about your pipelines mainly. Yeah, I mean, we're looking at break history. We're looking at, you know, any kind of data that we can get regarding your pipelines to identify, you know, is there any correlation between unlined cast iron, bare cast iron, ductile iron, steel, you know, where corrosion might be more of a potential.
I don't know if we have any cathodic protection going on in the system now. Yeah, we do. Yeah. Okay. Those are kind of interesting subjects.
Do we have any pre-stressed concrete, or is it all pre-cast in the river?
Yeah. like pre-stressed, I mean, pre-stressed concrete cylinder is a common type of pipeline that was used for medium to large diameter pipeline.
I don't think there is any.
Isn't it pre-stressed?
Yeah. Oh, that was in that same period of time.
Yeah. But there was a bunch of band pipe. Mm-hmm. When you're doing this assessment in the inventory, are you going to every structure, or are you just picking out kind of target ones, or are you going to every one of them?
We're not going to every one. We worked with Keith and your guys' team to identify some of your most critical facilities. So we developed a criteria to identify, amongst your 200 plus pump stations, reservoirs, PRV stations, what are your most critical facilities? And so, and we kind of have approximately 4 weeks of kind of going out to your specific facilities. So I think we're getting to about 30 to 40% of your facilities. But those aren't just like a whatever's close together. Those were identified based on a criteria that was established with your staff and identified to be like, these are what our most critical facilities are within our system, and sending a team out to those facilities.
And you could look at age of this one and the ones that you didn't see, and you can.
Right. And we're looking at everything from capacity standpoint, from a hydraulic modeling standpoint. It's just the ones like we physically went to some of your oldest and most critical facilities to put actual eyes on it. But I mean, even beyond the actual like kind of official condition assessments we're doing, we're constantly coming out to the field to kind of look at other facilities for different reasons, validating hydraulic model, validating results.
And that's all part of the project. Substructures?
Substructures as in pipelines or... Mm-hmm. I mean, pipelines, we're not doing any really physical condition assessment. The substructure would be potentially like pressure reducing valve vaults.
Valve vaults, yeah.
Yeah. Looking at those things like where needed, if we need to check to confirm what the settings are, making sure we have the hydraulic model matching what you guys have in the field. So there's that element involved as well.
And then this is all separate from the treatment plants.
Treatment plants are involved in the master planning work as well.
Okay.
I mean, as part of the condition assessment, I mean, we didn't go to every different treatment process within the treatment plants, but there were certain aspects within the treatment plants were identified as most critical, and we put our team there to go look at it.
Very good.
So no physical material testing?
No, like as in taking a pipe coupon and testing it. No, we're not doing that.
And any sample analysis? Not necessarily water quality, but actually disregard my comment.
Yeah, we provided them the data on that information. We give them the water chemistry.
Right.
As far as coupons, we've been doing that testing ourselves. We did that with the PVC to see if we had a reason for the break, other than the obvious likely overstabbing or something along those lines. And we provided that data as well. So a lot of those items we're giving them are our historical information or any information we've had about our system.
All right. Well, looking forward to the final report.
I am too. We talked about the master plan, and I didn't realize how in-depth you're going into this. I thought it was going to be more than the hydraulic model. I'm glad to see we're doing the asset management part of it as well. That's very good.
That's just one element of it. Yeah.
It's a start of asset management. There will be a larger asset management project that likely comes out of this, but this is still a higher overview than getting into the very detail of asset management we will need to still pursue. Just like your preface, because you'll be seeing that eventually.
Just getting asset management or assets inventory is a big job.
That's the first step.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for coming up and not allowing us to meet you in person as opposed to seeing you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and I know when we get a little further along, when we start to have some more results, we'll do a presentation to the full board. I thought it was important for Tori to be able to come out here today, show you what we've done so far, which is quite a bit. The data collection alone, meeting with operations, meeting with engineering, getting all of that information. Really great team, really easy to work with. And so it's been going very smooth. They're very thorough on their data requests. It was a very long list of data they wanted, which is good. That's shows that we're going to be getting a good report out of this. So we're looking forward to seeing those results and continuing to work with them. We were able to release a couple other projects because we know the data is coming and it's been timely and we're on schedule. And so we can keep our other projects moving like we brought forward today.
Very good. And your office is located where?
I mean, I'm personally based out of Irvine, but we have a downtown LA office.
Of course, so you can't get much farther away.
I timed the rain perfectly today. I came right in the middle of the day, so it was fine.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah, of course.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
And with that, anything else? Any questions from anybody? We're good. Then I guess we're adjourned. Thank you. Thank you very much.